This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.
Our people faced many hardships in our struggle for freedom and justice. I am writing to tell you what some ordinary people and I did to bring about change so that your generation might learn from what we experienced.
That is Chicago activist Alice Tregay reading from a letter to her children and grandchildren in the documentary Alice's Ordinary People. It will be shown on Thursday at the Kalamazoo Public Library. The film's director, Craig Dudnick, will also be on hand for discussion after it is shown. Craig Dudnick joins us. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Gordon.
So first of all, what interested you in this film? What brought you to actually make this documentary?
Well, Alice approached me. She had seen, actually, her brother was Evanston's first black firefighter in 1950. And I had made a film about the African-American community in Evanston called Evanston's Living History. And Alice had pictures of her brother. So I used those, you know, pictures of him on the fire department. And then I didn't know who Alice was other than she had, you know, some role with, you know, the civil rights movement. Her brother had told me that. But I didn't know the depth of her involvement. And then Alice really liked the finished film that I had made about the African-American community in Evanston. And she asked if I could make a film about the movement, the Chicago Freedom Movement. And it was sort of a great challenge. You know, I said I would try to handle it. It's a much bigger project than the Evanston one. And so that got us started. And then about 2 years later, we had the film that you played, Alice's Ordinary People.
And give us kind of the quick synopsis there of the Chicago Freedom Movement and what Alice did as part of that.
Okay. Well, Alice really got pulled into the Freedom Movement. She was marching to desegregate the schools where her children were going, Chicago 1964. What had happened was they were running out of room in the Chicago schools, in the black community. There was plenty of room in the white schools, but in the African-American community. So what the superintendent, and his name was Willis, his answer was to make these additions. They were tin, sort of shed-type additions without heating or air conditioning. And this brought out hundreds of thousands of people in protest. And also they asked Dr. King if he would come to Chicago. And in 1966, this draws Dr. Martin Luther King to Chicago. And Alice and her husband took part in some of the terrible protests, the marches that Dr. King took part in Chicago. But it's after Dr. King's death that the civil rights movement becomes centered in Chicago. And that's when Alice had the idea that they needed to be involved in politics. So she taught a class as part of Operation Breadbasket called Political Education, How to Run a Political Campaign. Her first class had 25 people, but within the next few years, they had trained 5,000. And then Alice taught herself actually how to run campaigns. But at first, as her daughter told me, all the candidates lost, as she put it, because she said they were good people. But slowly they started to win, and the offices kept getting bigger, eventually leading to the election of our first African-American mayor, Alice's friend Harold Washington. And it's really the Washington victory that draws a young Barack Obama to Chicago for his own political education. So this is Alice is really the link that takes us from Dr. Martin Luther King to President Obama. She saw politics was going to be the future of the movement.
And yet, as you say, you, as someone in the Chicago area working on a documentary about her brother, didn't know a whole lot about her story. Is it something that kind of got lost a little bit in the history of the civil rights movement, and even in Chicago in particular?
Yes. I mean, I knew nothing. I didn't know her name, and I didn't know, you know, the role of, I mean, just the whole, how Breadbasket and how Alice had formulated politics, all of that story got lost. Suddenly, Barack Obama just seemed to appear. He just seemed on the scene, and you know, after the early 2000s. But no, this was a whole movement, you know, that had been built up. And Alice is the same age as Dr. King, and really brought to it a similar depth of commitment. I remember talking to Alice about Dr. King, and she'd say, you know, he would make you feel as if you were the most important person there. And I asked her what would he have thought about all the roads and things named after him, and she said he never would have believed it. They were very low-key. You know, they really were interested in getting something done, and that was Alice. But this was a very important story, you know, that did somehow get missed and really had a big effect on our democracy.
I want to play a little clip from the film here. And this is pertaining exactly to President Obama's campaign for president.
I went to an alternative school, and I talked about Obama running. I asked them, would they help me? And I had about 15 of the students come out on the last day to register to vote to help.
Craig Dudnick, she was still very active then relation to the Obama campaign for president.
Yes. Didn't have quite the primary role that she had in earlier campaigns, but she let, you know, the groundwork for it. And, of course, people from Operation Push were going to the states, to Iowa and Michigan, to work for him, and all the people in the movement were working for him.
Do you think that she recognized, perhaps, the way some other people didn't, that it was going to require working within the system, getting people elected, defending political allies when they face tough re-election battles, which you document as well in the film? Did she recognize that, maybe ahead of some other people, that that was going to be a key part of the civil rights movement and other efforts to make life better for people in Chicago?
Yes. It's pretty incredible that she sort of had this vision of building a political movement, building it within the system, that it could be done. I remember interviewing, you know, some of the men who had taken part of it, and they were in tears when they talked about Alice because a lot of them didn't think this could be done. But Alice brought a special spirit, you know, and we've seen this in the past. You know, these figures like Harriet Tubman, I mention her because it's that courage and that, you know, to throw themselves in, you know, against the odds. And, you know, as Harriet Tubman said, I'm either going to be free or I'm going to be dead. And, of course, you know, with a $40,000 bounty overhead, she goes and continually goes back down south bringing people, you know, to freedom. Well, Alice, it's that kind of courage. You know, she has a vision that they need to get people elected, that the African-American community is the most loyal to the daily machine. And for that loyalty, and they're also the biggest component in, you know, in that electorate, for that loyalty, they're getting basically nothing in return. And so in order to get services and get representation for their community, they're going to have to start to get people elected. But how do we do that in a system that's stacked against us? And they built it from the ground up. And that's, I think, the most important part, you know, that it's built from the ground up. And that's what Alice, and a lot of creativity. Another example of the creativity is for Harold Washington, when he was going to run for mayor, he was a congressman and he didn't want to give up that position so quickly. So he said, I will only run for mayor if you can get 100,000 new registered voters and raise $100,000. They raised the money. But to get the voters, Alice saw a bill in your state, in Detroit, called deputy registrars, where you could register people in public libraries, high schools, not just downtown, but in different places. And she gave this bill to her friend Senator Brookins in Illinois. They got it passed, and it brought in 150,000 new voters. And they credit that bill with electing Harold Washington. So they were very creative in this process, with Alice at the head.
We just had an interview on this program recently about women in the civil rights movement who maybe didn't get their due.
Sure.
One of the things that we got into in that discussion is whether or not women maybe had some different roles. They were not, you know, preachers at the pulpit, and maybe they worked a little more behind the scenes. Is that part of what Alice did, that she often, you know, she didn't run for elected office herself, but she often, you know, would help people who were running and maybe, you know, did the activism and the grassroots work that paved the way for others?
You know, Alice got nothing, you know, for herself in terms of within the movement, she was well known. But outside of the movement, she wasn't. But that selfless quality, I think, was what was so inspiring about her. You know, it wasn't about her. It was about the movement. And Alice you know, this is really something because Alice told me that she wanted to, because you mentioned the other women in the movement, to go to the White House. She said, told me she had been there with President Clinton and Carter. She had been to the White House before, but she wanted to go visit the White House while President Obama was there. So she had me write a letter, you know, to the White House. And in the letter I wrote, and Alice fits easily among this great group of women, Rosa Parks and Fannie Lou Hamer and Ella Baker. And, you know, and Alice said to her husband, "Oh, Jimmy, he's got me in some pretty good company." Well, sadly, Alice passed away 2 weeks later, so she didn't get to the, you know, to go to the White House. It was a sudden, you know, her death was sudden. But she thought, especially Fannie Lou Hamer in Mississippi, you know, was a great role model. You know, the activist in Mississippi who was sort of a sharecropper, I think one of 20 children who did so much for voter rights in Mississippi. So these women haven't gotten really the recognition, but they play a huge role. Huge role in the movement.
I want to play one more clip from your film, and this is Alice actually receiving an award, and at the same time, she is still talking about the work that has to be done.
I am still doing voter registration with the Citizen Action, and I guess I will do that until they put me in my grave, and I thank you very much.
And Craig Dudnick, she did continue work right up until the end of her life, correct?
Oh, yes, she did. You know, she's remarkable. It was February. She died in 2015, in April of 2015. In February 2015, I asked her to go to Ferguson, Missouri with me because, like, you know, so many of us, we didn't know the history of what they had done in Chicago, and I thought how it would, you know, be a great benefit to tell the young people there what they had already accomplished in Chicago. And, you know, it was very cold and without hesitation, you know, and Alice wasn't that well then, you know. She went to go to the public library and talk about the film in Ferguson, and then was very active in the presidential campaign. We had our first ever runoff between Chuy Garcia and Rahm Emanuel for the you know, position of mayor in Chicago. Alice wasn't happy with our current mayor, especially with the closing of 50 schools. So Alice worked very hard, and that was her last campaign. And, you know, I think that really was the one that was too much for her. But she worked right on up to the end. That was her life.
So I wonder, as we sit and talk on a Monday morning following a weekend of a lot of protests across the country, at airports from sea to shining sea, I guess you could say, regarding the Trump administration's ban on immigrants from certain countries, is there something of a lesson to be learned from Alice's activism, you know, not only perhaps in terms of demonstrations, but maybe some of the work that has to go on that doesn't get TV cameras lined up and that sort of thing?
I think that's a very good point. You know, the working to build within the system, there's a lot of room within the Democratic Party to, you know, because this is what Alice told the group in Ferguson, that you have to register everybody to vote, and you've got to field candidates, and you've got to make sure that everybody votes, and if the candidates aren't responsive, you have to pull those candidates. It takes a lot of work, but this is grassroots politics. And I think that grassroots politics is the intersection of the civil rights movement and politics. That's when it changes in Chicago. Remember, you know, President Obama worked at registering voters in Chicago as well, and was an organizer. So this grassroots part of it is very important, and that's this what they did so well in Chicago. And that if you do bring that discipline, you know, bring candidates out, make sure that you've got good candidates, and work very hard to register, vote, and do all the things that you need to do, people are going to start to get elected. And there's a lot of people out there, and they can have a lot of power in, you know, in moving the government to respond to the will of the people, which is what you really want to do.
All right. Craig Dudnick, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Gordon.
Craig Dudnick is the director of Alice's Ordinary People. He will be at the Kalamazoo Public Library on Thursday when the documentary is shown. The screening begins at 7 o'clock. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.